Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that celebrates female friendship. The good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Josted.
And we're best friends.
I can't even look at you now.
No.
When we do it, because you have this twinkle in your eye.
I do. I'm just waiting. But we are best friends.
We are.
We had a lovely day today. Went to the movies.
Saw The Gentlemen, which recommend.
Yeah, highly recommend.
Yeah.
We went with Dr. Khaleesi and Mara of the Marble
Islands. That's right.
And we had a great time. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
If you don't mind a little violence.
Yes. But it's Guy Ritchie. It's fun.
It's fun, fast, hilarious.
Yeah.
Great dialogue.
Great dialogue.
And then we went to a diner and ate a disgusting amount of food.
I had a double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I was so delicious.
We were going to take naps when we first got back.
I needed to take a nap.
Yeah. We'll only just record this episode and
then
it's nap time.
Just lay down again. Okay.
So we have a great letter from a younger listener, and we're calling this episode Rich Girl, Poor Girl. Do you want to read it, Joss, or am I on cue?
You're on cue.
All right.
You're on cue.
Dear ladies, love, love, love the podcast and just binged it over Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Here's my issue. I have a friend, Sheena, not her real name. We've been friends since elementary school. Best friends, more or less. We've had stretches of time where we didn't see each other, but we always drift back together. Sleepovers, Girl Scouts, prom, all that shit that makes you besties. We both graduated from college 2 years ago. Sheena got a job with a massive salary and benefits up the ass. Great. She's an engineer. She has a beautiful apartment in our home city in this fab building with a doorman and a balcony.
Wow.
Sounds great. She went out and got a new wardrobe and now has things like drinks parties and brunch with homemade pasta.
Sounds wonderful.
She has to travel for her job and her company flies her first class. These are great perks.
Yeah, yeah.
I have flown exactly once to my grandfather's funeral. Oh, honey.
I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry.
I have a job, too. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. This is all great for her. Seriously, I am happy for her and proud of her. She is super smart and works hard. I have a job, too, in my field, marketing, but it doesn't pay enough for me to have my own place, so I'm living with my parents for now. I have a plan, and in about 18 months, I can rent a shared apartment with someone, at least in theory. My job is interesting and even fun, but the pay is shit. Honey, we have both been there.
I'm still there.
However, there is a ladder, and so far I'm getting good performance reviews. It's possible that if I stay here and do well, I could be making twice what I'm making in a few years, which is good enough for me. But my top salary would be about half of what Sheena made in her first year.
Wow.
Mm. I swear I am not jealous. I would love to do what Sheena's doing, clothes, apartment, expensive wine, gorgeous bags. But I'm also aware that my field just doesn't pay as much, and I'll probably never shop at Nordy's or Saks's. My problem is that I think Sheena wants me to be jealous. Whenever we get together, she tricks me. Say we're supposed to go to the movies, which I can afford. She says, let's grab drinks first, and goes to some wine bar where the drinks are $20 a piece, and I order water. Or maybe gruel. She occasionally offers to buy me a drink, but I feel uncomfortable. Or we make plans to just wander around and we end up in a super expensive boutique where I watch her try on clothes for an hour. Yeah. At her parties, I'm always the only one who's not from her new world of work. And I feel left out since I can't exactly talk about mechanical engineering. Me neither.
Not many people can, right?
It's like I'm her token poor friend.
Yeah.
Or a sign that she's well-rounded because she kept me. Sheena doesn't talk to me much at these events, so I end up talking to someone I don't know, trying to look interested and interesting. I've said things like, that's out of my budget, or can it just be you and me this time? I've suggested she come over and hang out at my parents' house. She loves them, and I'm an only child, so I have my own space where we could hang out. She doesn't seem to hear me. She has canceled on plans like this more than once. Maybe she thinks it's fun for me to watch her buy knives at Williams-Sonoma or try on dresses that cost a week of my salary. It's boring and a constant reminder of what I can't afford and might never afford. I feel like we're irreplaceable to each other because we grew up together. I feel like she knows me in a way a new friend could never, and vice versa. I love her parents. She loves mine. I went to her brother's wedding, but I miss the old her. Do you have any advice? Is this worth saving? How can I say I hate how materialistic you are without sounding jealous? Am I jealous? Is this all on me? Please help, ladies. The thought of losing her makes me cry. From the poor friend, or whatever you want to call me.
Well, we're going to call you the poor friend.
We're going to call you the poor friend. Yeah. Sweetheart.
That's really sad.
I am sorry that you're going through this hard time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have questions.
Many questions. Yeah. Yeah.
Were you really best friends?
Just off the bat, right?
Yeah.
Just look back and... Because you say you drifted back and forth, drifted out of each other's lives and back in each other's lives. So just curious about that.
And I noticed, like, you mentioned the things you do as little kids, Girl Scouts, and high school, the prom. But I didn't hear anything about, like, when you were in college.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I'm assuming you went to different schools. And if so, did you keep in touch during that time? Or is it now just, like, that shared proximity that's brought you back together?
Right.
So Joss, you had a great question about what was growing up like.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Sheena's behavior does sound a little insensitive.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound great. But it also sounds like she's kind of trying to rub your face in her money, right?
Her success.
Her success, or that she has these great brunch parties, which I'm jealous because I don't have brunch parties.
I have never... You've never invited me to a brunch party.
No, I don't have the Sex and the City lifestyle. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. But it occurred to me that you, as an only child, might have had more advantages than she did, and maybe that made her feel bad when you guys were in high school. Like, was your prom dress nicer than hers?
Right.
Right? Did you have more stuff?
Right.
Where she didn't have as much.
Yeah.
And so maybe this is her turn to be the one with all the stuff.
When you said that, Joss, I thought that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because that would explain sort of this, what comes across in your letter as Sheena showing off.
Right,
and
right.
rubbing your face in it.
Yeah.
Because if you grew up the same,
right.
I think it would be weird for her.
Right.
What I was missing in these descriptions was kind of like, is there ever any fun?
Right.
You know, like, is it fun to go to her house for homemade pasta and brunch? Is it, like, did she invite you to go shopping in a way that made you feel included? Like, you have such great taste in clothes and I need to buy all this stuff for work.
Right.
Would you help me?
Right.
Like, that's different to me.
Right.
Than just like, oh, there's a boutique I can afford. Let me go in and browse while you press your nose against the window, you know? So I didn't really get a sense of that.
Right.
Or if anything, I got the sense that it was kind of rubbing your face in it.
Yeah.
But if she's sharing her good fortune with you, like, come to brunch and meet my work friends.
Right.
That's different from you may observe my fabulous new friends in my fabulous new apartment in my fabulous new world.
Right. I agree.
It was kind of hard to tell. So if we are completely misreading this letter and Sheena is in fact reaching out to you, including you, really excited about her good fortune and wanting you to be, you know, part of her new world.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound that way.
It doesn't to me sound that way.
It sounds like she's being kind of a snobby bitch.
Yeah. Which made us question your friendship to begin with.
Right.
Right? I mean, if she's being this way to you now, how was she, you know, when you were in high school or you went to camp together or whatever you did?
Mm-hmm.
Were there any clues, if you look back on that, that can explain some of this behavior?
Yeah. And, you know, you say, like, that she's materialistic, and it definitely comes off that way from your letter. You know, it may be that if she did grow up with nothing or you know, having to make do all the time, that buying knives at Williams-Sonoma is thrilling for her.
Yes.
And she is delighting in, like, this newfound economic freedom.
Right.
And so it would be poor of you to be resentful of
that. Yeah.
But what I think is that you guys were situational friends.
Yes.
Childhood friends.
That is a great term.
And now that the situation has changed and you're not in the same classes and the same, you know, locker rooms and hallways, that you're finding that you have much less in common.
Right. Right.
But if you want to give it a try, you know, we ladies always recommend that one honest conversation.
The one conversation.
Because here's the thing, poor friend, we think your friendship is dying.
Yes. Sorry.
And yeah, we are sorry for that. It does not mean that it never existed.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that you can't look back on those times as being happy times with your then friends. But, you know, not every friendship lasts to the grave.
Right.
But if you want to give it one more try, get her alone in whatever, you know, place you can and say, listen, you know, Sheena, I am so proud of you and so happy for you. And I'm thrilled that you're having so much fun with your brunch parties and your knives from Williams-Sonoma. But, you know, I can't match you economically.
Right.
So, like, going out to a restaurant where I really can't afford to eat, or, you know, like, watching you try on clothes at a boutique where I will never be able to shop, you know, like, that's just not a lot of fun for me.
Right.
And I still want to see you because our history is so important to me. But, like, can we take hikes or, you know, watch movies at my house or your house or something? You know, maybe we can spend a day, like, making muffins or decorating a cake or something like that. You know, whatever floats your boat. But give her some options of things that you would like to do that maybe you both liked to do once upon a time and that don't cost anything.
Right.
And then see her reaction.
You see how it goes from there. Right.
You've hinted that watching a movie at your parents' house is not of interest to her.
Right.
So that's why we kind of think
this
friendship is winding down.
Yeah, and I mean, not to say that's a good thing, or but it is a normal thing.
It's a normal thing.
I mean, friendships, especially if you didn't go to college together, have a hard time like staying. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have a friend that you've known since you were 6 years old, and you're perhaps 49, that's amazing. Because usually friendships sort of die. You have these various stages in your life, and friendships kind of like fall away and fall off, you know, after high school, sometimes after college, even after grad school. Then once you start a job and you have your work friends, you get married, you get new friends there. A lot of times those older friendships don't translate into the new part of your life. So This may be hard for you, but this is sort of normal?
It is. You know, I mean, I am that person who has had a friend since I was 5 years old.
Right.
Hi, Beth. How you doing? And Beth, you know, we grew up together. We grew up next door to each other. We both love horses. You know, we still see each other because our parents still live in the same town. And yet, Beth is not someone I call when I'm feeling blue.
Right.
Because she lives in another state, we don't get together that often. We probably get together socially 2 or 3 times a year.
Right.
And it's usually based around family events.
Okay.
Like it's my mom's birthday and we're all going out and that kind of thing. I love Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Beth knows me. We always have a great time together.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not someone that I confide in daily.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like, how are you? It's great to see you. What's new? We laugh. We spend 2 hours together. And then we don't communicate for 6 more months.
Right.
That, to me, is like a historic friendship.
Right, right.
It's not... It's very valuable because of our shared history and the love we have for each other's families.
Mm-hmm.
I'm her daughter's godmother, you know. But, like, on a day-to-day level, I don't consider her, like, in my inner circle.
Well, and I imagine that Beth has her own inner circle.
I think she feels the same way.
Right,
like,
right.
Good old Kristen.
Right, right.
You know, she crossed my mind last
week. Right, right, right.
But I'm not, like, a part of her daily life.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And then, you know, I live in my hometown, so I will come across some of my childhood friends once in a while. And there's that historic fondness for, like, oh, hey, how are you? It's good to see you. You know, remember that time that we had a dog show for our 3 months? And you know, that's precious, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't, just because we're no longer friends doesn't mean that the past was a lie.
Right, right.
And what we, you know, the friendship that we had for each other wasn't true.
Right.
I ran into one, like, my middle school best friend last fall, and it was so good to see her. We live like 3 miles apart, but we never see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy to see her. We gave each other big hugs, and we're like, we should get together for coffee, which we haven't done.
Right.
But in sixth grade, I would have lain in front of a bus for her.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
She was just the
right.
best.
Right.
And we're not friends anymore.
Right.
But we're certainly not enemies.
Right, right.
We're not dead to each other.
Right, right.
And I think because it sounds like you're about 24.
Yeah.
You're just learning this now.
Right.
This is your first experience with the idea that not all friendships last.
Right.
And it's hard.
It is
And
hard.
It's sad. And, you know, we encourage you to make more friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said your work is fun. Maybe you'll have some friends that grow out of your workplace.
Right.
You know, join a hiking club
or
you know, fly fishing club, whatever you want, whatever
right.
you like to do, and start to see how adults make friends.
Yeah.
Because you're not situational friends right now.
Right.
You know, you're not, you're in a position where you're going to be working in this town for a while, it sounds like, and it's time to start making friends that you weren't born into.
Right, who shared the same interests as you, especially you're this marketing person now. So you, this is why Sheena has got all these great mechanical engineering friends, because they share a common interest.
Right.
And so you should be making friends also that share a common interest.
Right, right.
Also.
And I would recommend that that you say no to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if she says like, hey, I'm having a brunch so I can see if my new, you know, food processor works
right.
as well as Williams-Sonoma said it would.
Right.
You could say, you know, thank you. No, I've got plans that day, which means I'm going to do my laundry or
right.
read a book.
Right.
And because the going to these things isn't making you happy.
Right. So you don't have to put yourself into that situation.
Stop going to parties where you know you're going to be the only non-mechanical engineer.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, you know, say honestly to her that, like, I really enjoy it when it's just the two of us. You know, I hate to tell you this, but I'm not as smart as your mechanical engineering friends. Or,
right.
you know, I don't revel in talking about mechanical engineering and whatever.
Or maybe you could, surely you had a group of friends that are part of your town, your circle.
I would think.
From when you were in high school mm-hmm. or whatever. Maybe you could, instead of, like, trying to get Sheena one-on-one, maybe get the old group together.
Yeah.
Just for drinks
right.
once in a while.
The band is getting back
yeah,
together.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you know, I did that recently, and it was just as you say, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Facebook group of
right.
of the girls from my high school class.
Right, right.
And we got together a couple months ago, and the only thing we had in common was that we all went to this Catholic girls' school,
mm-hmm.
and that we all still live in the area-ish.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And we had a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know someone's name.
Right.
I also have, like, really bad name recall, so I called everybody the wrong name the first time.
Yeah, I usually do,
hey, Amanda. Nope, not Amanda. You know? it was, you know, embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we caught up. Like, it was interesting. Like two of us were married, and two of us had kids,
mm-hmm.
and two were gay. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like... We just kind of caught up, and then somebody brought a yearbook, and we went through, and like,
oh,
where is she? What
yeah.
happened to her? Or she was so mean to me, you know? And even though we weren't friends
right.
in high school, we're friendly acquaintances.
Sure.
And I think, you know, a couple from that group
right.
are going to become closer
right.
friends.
Right.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in my 50s now, and these girls I went to high school with decades ago.
Right.
Could be my friends, you know, on a much more significant level than we were
right, right.
back then. So,
right.
so yeah, you know, reach out to the old gang.
Right.
Reach out to some new people.
Right. And what about your college friends? Surely you made some friends while you were in college.
Right.
Reach out to
maybe
them.
Maybe they're far-flung. We don't know, you know.
I love a far-flung friend.
I do, too.
It's because that's a nice
yeah.
plane trip to go visit.
A plane trip or, you know, a 3-hour phone marathon.
Yes.
Once a month, something like that.
Yeah.
But it got us thinking,
yeah.
poor friend, and we appreciate this opportunity. We said, what does make a real friend? Because
yeah.
the title of our podcast is Crappy Friends.
Right.
We've covered what makes crappy friends
right.
quite extensively.
Yes.
So we made 10 things that give you the sign that you really do have a friend.
Right.
And number one is you like, respect, and enjoy that person.
Right.
Like, we don't believe in frenemies.
No.
You know?
I don't do that.
No.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah. We don't hang out with people we don't like because life is too short.
It is. Who wants to waste your time? It takes so much energy to be angry and manipulative and mean.
Right.
And it's exhausting.
And you have to, I think respect is a big factor.
Absolutely.
You have to admire this person. And then you also have to enjoy them. Because I know people where I, you know, someone will say like, well, what do you think of so-and-so? I'm like, you know, really smart, talented person that I admire.
Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing bad to say about.
Mm-hmm.
But we just never clicked.
Yeah. And the click is important.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. We just never felt like hanging out.
Right.
Doesn't mean that she's a bad person or a bad friend or that she's, you know, a serial killer. It just means the chemistry wasn't there.
Right.
There wasn't that enjoyment. Number two, Joss.
Number two is you communicate with them. It's not just a feeling.
Right.
Which is important. I was telling Kristen I have a friend who I communicate with her in a way that I don't communicate with anyone, but then I don't yell at people. But I do, I yell at her. But for some reason, we're okay. We can survive that.
So you're saying you have profound differences.
Sometimes.
And you can communicate those.
Yes.
And still be okay.
And we're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like number two also means that you don't just think fondly of them.
Right.
You talk to them.
Right.
You engage. And it's not just chit chat.
Right. And it's not necessarily dumping your problems on them either.
Right. But there's like a level of intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where you're not just like, hey, how you doing?
Right.
Great to see you. I love your outfit.
Right.
You know, that there's a deeper communication going on.
Yeah.
Number three is you trust her.
Yeah.
And God, we've had so many letters from people who have been stabbed in the back, you know, never saw it coming.
Dumped hard, man.
And when we say trust, it's not like you can spill your secrets, and but you trust their integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will tell you if you're doing something wrong, and you can tell them.
Right.
And that they will respect that.
Right.
And you know that they will have your back.
Yes.
And you know this because they have had your back.
Right. Because that's exactly true.
Yeah.
Like, I trust Kristen. Like, if I was ever in the hospital and couldn't speak, Kristen could speak for me. That is how much I trust her.
Yeah.
Because she would know what I want.
Right.
She knows what I like. She knows what I don't like.
Yeah.
And it would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I trust that if someone came up to Joss and said, you know, that Kristen did something really unkind and shitty, that she would say, wow, that does not sound like her at all.
Right.
Rather than, really?
Yeah.
Tell me all about it.
Right.
Okay, because that's a frenemy who wants
that
the gossip on
you. Yeah, we don't want that.
So she's had your back, and she will stand up with you. She will stand by you. She will stand for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are equals is the fifth one. You're not her big sister. She's not yours. You're not her mentor. She's not yours. You're not her fan. And she's not the star, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
One of you doesn't have all the answers. You get to share your issues. She gets to share hers. It's mutual.
Yeah.
Mutuality.
Yeah.
It's equal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we all lean on a friend more at different times in our life. You know, like if you're going through a hard time, and you like you call that friend and you tell them all your problems and they listen. That should not be the only dynamic in the friendship.
Right, right.
That there should be a time when that friend calls you and says, you know, I'm going through a hard time and I need to lean on you.
Right.
Or not you like you're not her psychiatrist or her therapist.
There are other words for that besides friend.
Yeah.
You know, there's mentor as that we had on the list.
Well, we're talking friendship.
Yeah, I mean,
having a mentor
friendship
is great.
It's great, yes.
You know, having a fan is great, a fan of your work.
Right.
But there has to be that equality.
Yeah.
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 Number six is you hear from her.
Right.
You can't have a friendship in a vacuum.
That's true.
And if you say like, wow, it's been 7 years since I heard from Juanita, you think, okay, so are we still friends?
Yeah.
You know, like, or has this friendship just run its course?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Is, you know, is it going to be the historic friendship like I have with my childhood friend right. or my high school friend?
And all of that is okay.
Yeah. It's okay. But if you're talking about, like, who are the friends, you know, what makes a friendship?
Right.
It's interaction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I said in this one, you hear from her, you don't have to do all the work.
Right.
She'll call you
yeah.
call her. And the reason we went to the movies and the diner today was because Joss said, I want a cozy day.
Yeah.
You know, let's plan to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cold, rainy day, and it was, you know, just perfect. You know.
Movie theaters had those fabulous seats that were fine.
Oh, God. I could have stayed there
forever.
All day. Right?
Forever.
Okay, where are we?
Number 7, you can do nothing together. You're not dependent on a group or a situation. There's nothing wrong with friendly acquaintances, but friendship is a bit deeper. Be careful about assuming the bowling league chats that you have is the same as a true friendship. So true. It's not one event that bonds you. Yeah, like, she's a bridesmaids in your wedding.
Yeah.
But you haven't spoken to her for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Come on. That
right.
doesn't mean that you owe her your full allegiance.
Right, and it doesn't mean that she owes you hers
right.
because she was your bridesmaid.
Right,
therefore,
right.
there's some blood contract,
no
you know?
Blood contract.
But, like, I was thinking about my book club.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of really smart, wonderful women from the area.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are my closest friends, and some of them are my book club friends.
Right.
In that we share some things, but we only share them at book club.
Right.
You know, once a month, if that. And that they have friends, you know, who are closer to them. We enjoy each other. We respect each other. We make time for each other. But they're not my closest circle.
Right.
You know,
right.
not all of them. And that's
right.
that's okay.
Yeah.
That's lovely, too. It's kind of nice to have a friend that, you know, I mean, there's only so much room at the table.
You right.
know, you can't have 27 friends you are actively maintaining and giving equal time to.
Right. That's
you know?
Exhausting.
So, yeah, it's not one event that bonds you.
Right.
Like, say, you were there for the birth of her child.
Right.
Right. That's not going to last for this. That can't be the only thing.
It can't be the only thing. Not even camp or high school.
Right.
Or even college.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all of those things,
yeah.
right?
Or like a work... I have a friend, and we used to work at the same company, and neither of us works at the company anymore, and it's been now 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that historic fondness
right.
for each other. But the only reason we were friends was because we worked at the same company.
Right.
We see each other every other year or so.
Right.
And we occasionally gossip about the long ago coworkers,
right.
but there's nothing else that bonds us.
Right.
You know, I don't know her child. She doesn't know mine.
Exactly.
You know, we just have this historic friendship. It's rich enough that we do make time for each other every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like if I were in crisis, if I were in the hospital, I wouldn't call Joanne, but I would call Joss.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You are happy for her wins and sad for her losses.
Yes.
Right?
That's so important.
This is not a competition.
Right.
So this is so true. Watch who resents you for doing well.
That's so illuminating.
Yeah.
You see the whole truth once you see that.
Yep. So, you know, if you have a friend who's only there for you when you are low,
mm-hmm.
when you're... less than she is,
mm-hmm.
and then you start to become equals or maybe surpass her,
right?
And she starts to resent you,
right?
You got to be really careful about a
right.
person like that,
right? Right.
I mean, I had a friend in my early adult years, early motherhood years, and she was wonderful because she was like a big sister. She
mm-hmm.
would bring me hand-me-downs for the kids' clothes and you know, pick up the tab for drinks or something like that. But when my life started to grow in publishing and I started to like become successful with books, she didn't want anything to do with me then.
Wow.
It was a bitter pill for her to swallow. She liked me in that inferior
your way, right.
You know, where she was better
mm-hmm.
and had more and, you know, knew more. And it really irked her
sure.
that
you were successful.
That I had done something
yeah.
And in this case, it turned out that she had wanted to do.
Oh, well, that tells the whole story. Right.
So if something great happens to you and your friend isn't saying, oh, my God, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
She's not your friend.
No. No, she's not.
You know, I mean, she has to know what's going on with you. You can't expect her to read your mind or a press release. But if you get a raise or you move into that fabulous apartment with the balcony and the doorman, your friend would say, my God, this is gorgeous. I love it. I'm so glad for you.
Right.
Right.
So, as mentioned before, you can recover from disagreements because the foundation of respect, affection, and integrity that both of you have.
Right. So, this is, as you said, you have a friend where you can yell at each other
in
disagreement.
And we can survive it.
And then say, I'll talk to you next week.
Right. And so, exactly. And so I think it's a big test for poor friend who we were just talking about when she has that one honest conversation with Sheena to see what happens then. Because if they can survive that, then there's something there.
That's a really good sign.
Yeah, it's a really good sign. That's worth keeping.
Because that will show that Sheena respects poor friend's opinion.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if she doesn't, then you don't have friendship without respect.
Right, right.
I was thinking of a time when a friend of mine and I were from very different backgrounds, and we had a disagreement about what I saw as a form of peaceful protest.
Mm-hmm.
In the football players who would kneel during the national anthem, and she saw it as a sign of disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very intelligent, calm conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us changed our minds, but we saw the other's point of view.
Right.
And we were done.
Yeah.
We were done talking about it.
Right.
We weren't done being friends.
Right, right, right.
I disagreed with her. She disagreed with me. We understood that, you know, there's a different way of seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we respected the other way of seeing it.
Right.
I still think I'm right. But, you know, I think she has integrity and intelligence.
Yes.
And she's allowed to have a different opinion from me.
Absolutely. Right.
And then the last one, Joss.
Is you just have fun together.
Yeah.
Like having a cozy day where you go,
ooh. Yeah. I think a great sign of friendship is either you don't run out of things to talk about, and you can be quiet together.
Together. For stretches of time,
you
and
can do nothing together.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everyone is super chatty. And yet, like, the idea of, like, let's take a walk together where we don't have to talk. Or we can just, like, look at the trees. And
right.
That was nice, you know, and be quiet together. But if you're not enjoying the time, like, if you feel stressed or you're yearning to go home or something.
Right.
There's something not
that's
quite
not,
right.
Not quite
even
right.
If you like and admire her and respect her and all that stuff, you know, again, it's that chemistry thing.
Yeah.
Not everybody has it.
Right. You know what's interesting is if you, like, listen to this list and you thought, wow, this sounds like my husband or this sounds like my wife, then that's, yes, exactly correct. The same criteria that you're using to figure out who your partner is going to be, your spouse.
Yeah.
That's the same kind of intimacy that many people have with a best friend.
Yeah.
Which is why when people write into us and talk about how they've been dumped, it is so devastating.
Right. We say often that that some of these breakups are more painful than divorce.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've been there. We've recovered from them, so we know what you're talking about.
Right.
So, Joss.
Yeah.
I think we have time for
an EPP.
Yeah. Embarrassing personal problem.
I have it up if you want me to read it.
Please do, Joss.
So it says, to start, I'm a very clean person. Very clean. Very is all caps, so I'd give it that emphasis. Right.
I like that.
Especially with my cat and her litter box, which is important to understand for the story. Today, I woke up after a lovely sleep and fed my cat. I glanced down at my bare feet to see a smear of crusty brown on top of one. You know, I've actually had this problem.
Oh, no.
I looked closer. Oh, God, it could only be one thing. Poop! A dry smear of poo.
Oh.
What the fuck? Where did this come from? I immediately wipe it off with Lysol antiseptic wipes, of course.
And boil it.
Yes. And check my cat's feet to see if she had stepped in poo. No. None on her booty hole either. You're good for looking.
Wow.
Yeah. I checked her litter box, which had been emptied and sanitized with bleach and Lysol yesterday, I kid you not, to see if she had tracked poo out of it. Nope. I checked my bed, gag, to see if there was any cat poo smeared on the sheets.
Oh my God.
No. Could it have been my poop? No way. How would that have even happened? I have no idea. There was no sign of poo anywhere in my apartment, toilet, or litter box. Just the rogue poo smear on my foot. I am mystified, flabbergasted. Where did the poo come from? Your theories are welcome. I think your cat picked the poo out of the litter box and smeared it on your pillow.
I think, first of all, what a disgusting thing. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not sure that bleach and Lysol were enough in this case.
Right.
Because there's nothing more disgusting than cat poop.
Yeah. Well, dog poop.
Dog vomit, maybe.
Dog vomit.
Yeah.
I had dog vomit on my toe. I think I've told you this story.
Oh, well, yeah. I've been vomited on many a time by my beloved canines. But but our dear letter writer, I do have to wonder if somehow there was rogue poo in your house somewhere. On the edge of your cabinet in the bathroom, just like a little something that your foot grazed.
Oh,
because that poo got on you somehow.
Maybe off her shoe. She walked in and didn't realize.
Maybe it's like dog poo from the street.
You track it in,
and on the bottom of your. Maybe it wasn't cat poo. We don't think it was human poo.
We hope it wasn't.
Yeah, if it's human poo, you have bigger, embarrassing personal problems to share.
Major issues. Though I will say, I really am enjoying the poop, embarrassing personal problems.
Yeah.
This will be the second one. The first one was our epic poop.
Oh my God, yes.
Where she pooped in the bag and then left it on the counter and then left the house and
best,
then had to come back.
Best ever.
I mean, she won, really.
But really, having a mysterious smear of feces on your foot.
Yeah.
Is concerning.
I mean, I hope it's not some creepy horror story that you're in the middle of, you know.
Right. Like some guys living in your ceiling. Raining little pellets of poop.
I love you. Oh my gosh. Do you have a roommate, maybe? I can't think. I feel like the cat is
It's the cat poo. It was some, she had a little poo somewhere that you didn't see and your foot rubbed against it. You know,
Are you sure it was poo and not cat vomit?
I think you know poop when you see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And, well, listen, we're sorry for your experience. I hope that you sound like a germaphobe, and I'm all for that.
Yeah,
so
no,
it takes one to know one.
Yeah, I agree.
Good luck, and maybe try toilet training your cat.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean,
the cat who flushes?
I wanted to do that with my dog.
Yeah, I know.
But my dog's 100 pounds.
That would complete. What a sight that would be. Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just Day.
And we're best friends
forever.